right side. Forsberg moves to the middle, shoots, and scores!
Giving you an in-depth look of Smashville's hockey team.
In the front, O'Reilly for the hat trick!
Live from Brewhouse, this is Smashville Live, presented by the Black Abbey Brewing Company. On your home for Smashville, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
Smashville Live is live at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria. It's been too long since we've had everybody together here in Smashville, and it's a great time in Predland right now. Predators have won six in a row and are tied for the first wild card spot with the LA Kings. And we've got two members of the Red Hot Preds with us here tonight. Dante Fabbro, Preds defenseman, and Preds forward, Mike McCarron. My name is Max Herz, along with former Preds defenseman Jay Moore. Smashville Live is presented by Black Abbey Brewing and ESPN Bet. Gentlemen, great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
We've got an awesome crowd here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs tonight. If you're in the area, if you're in Brentwood, Franklin, we'll be here till 7, so come on by, get a beer, get a burger, hang out with us at Brewhouse South. Guys, what an awesome last couple weeks this has been. Six straight wins, fun win last night. I think we got to set the tone for tonight's show, like Mike McCarron set the tone last night. He almost scored on the first shift. He almost fought Brady Tkachuk on the first shift. So on his second shift, he scored. And on his third shift, he fought. The tone was set, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, thanks, guys. Yeah, no, we just wanted to come out and have a strong effort at home. And sometimes you need to mix some things up at home when things aren't going well. And it's kind of what our fourth line did last night. We played well together.
Well, Andrew Brunette's message coming into the game was continue playing like you guys did on the road trip. And you won five in a row on the road, won a road style at home last night. Dante, what has this last week been like as the team has completely flipped it around?
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. I think you can see the effort guys are putting in. And, you know, you're seeing kind of the small things pay off. And, you know, we're scoring some goals, winning some games, which is awesome. And obviously that road trip was a big focus for our team, and getting back on the right foot and playing the right way, and you know, so getting those five wins and coming back home, and I wanted to put a good effort in front of the fans, obviously after you know, our last home game, and I thought we did that last night.
How do you guys prepare? Like, where was the you don't just flip a switch, okay? And when you're going through a tough time, it's a long 82 game schedule. You're going to have ups and downs, but when you go through a tough time like you did, and then all of a sudden you go on the road and you play as well as you have, what was it that you guys did? Obviously as a team, it's not one guy, and either one of you guys, just go ahead and answer, because it's I think everybody wants to hear.
I mean, things weren't easy there for a couple days. It was pretty tense around the room, a lot of unhappy people. But at the end of the day, I mean, you watch video, you see the effort that we didn't have. And I think at one point you need your full 23 guys to pull the rope. And I think you hear Bruno talk about everybody contributing, everybody pulling on the same rope, everybody working hard for each other. I mean, I think, like you said, you can't just flip a switch. So I think in St. Louis, our first game after that loss, it was focus on some little things that are going to help us win the game. We come out of there with a big win. And we start to build some momentum, like, okay, maybe that was just a one-off game for us. And from there, so road warriors this year. I mean, I tell you, we like to get on the road as a team, I guess. Play well on the road. And I think that road trip came at a perfect time for us. We were able to put some really good efforts in some really tough buildings. I mean, St. Louis, Vegas, those are hard places to play, L.A. I mean, great goaltending, great defense, and great job up front. I think, like I said, everybody was pulling on the rope.
I think we heard pulling on the same rope 500 times last week.
That's why I'm saying it.
Yeah, but it rings true. All 12 forwards scored on the trip. The team never trailed at any point. You guys won every game by two or more goals, thanks to a ton of empty netters from Gus Nyquist. And Everything clicked here, and now you guys have the challenge of bringing it back home, which you did last night. How about that third period? Shots on goal in the third last night with a two-goal lead. Preds 19, Senators nothing. The NHL tells us that is the sixth most shots on goal any team has ever had in a period without allowing a shot since they started tracking them in 1960. I mean, that with a two-goal lead, that's insane, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think going into the third period, I think our message was continue what we're doing. I think the biggest part of, you know, what we were doing so well over the past six games was being relentless and smothering teams all over the ice and making them feel uncomfortable. I think when, you know, obviously you'd see some of the things they would say about our team after the games and stuff like that. They felt like they had no room out there, hard to make plays. And I think that's just how we want to be. That's how our identity is going to be built this year. And I thought we've done a good job of creating that identity. And, yeah, I mean, it's as a player, it's great to play in. And when you hear those things, it's nothing but, you know, put a smile on your face because I think that just bolsters confidence in the room.
What does that do for your confidence when you come back and you just feel like before you go on that road trip, everybody's feeling in the dumps, like Max said there, just like, you know, a lot of unhappy campers coming to the room every morning, right? Yeah. And how do you change that? When you come home now and you win, you've won six in a row, what's it like around the room? Is it, you know, things a little guarded still, or is it just, come on, boys, we can do this. We know we've went on these runs before.
Yeah. It was tough for a couple of days there. I mean, you know, but I think the biggest part is you look at our leadership core and our coaching staff, and like Max said, it's just everyone kind of leaning on each other to ask for more. I mean, we all knew we had better efforts to put forward, and you know, I thought, like Max said, that first game at St. Louis was a big step in the right direction, and we wanted to kind of carry that momentum throughout the road trip. And it's not going to happen, you know, in one game or whatnot, but I felt as, you know, as the periods went on, we got better and better and stronger in areas where we needed to grow. And it was a great time to be on the road. I mean, playing in the NHL and even in professional sports, there's massive highs and huge lows. And so it's just the fact of, you know, kind of staying, you know, even keel and trusting your abilities, trusting your teammates and what you can do out there.
And just to touch on that, you talk about the highs and the lows. And I remember, you know, in the days when you don't play back-to-back games or you've got 3 or 4 days there and you come off of a bad game.
Yeah.
It's pretty miserable. Like, it's emotional. You feel bad that you've played. You know, being a defenseman, you may have you know, not had your best game.
Yeah.
You're out there, cost a goal, you're minus. You carry that for 3 or 4 days. It's not like going into the office and, you know, it's just like, I'll be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock. It's pretty emotional, isn't it? It's hard to explain that to people.
You can definitely get in your own head for sure, I think. You know, especially if you have one of those days and you go back that night and all you're thinking about is, you know, the mistakes or what could have happened and what I should have done and, you know, things you wish you did differently. But it's such a fast sport out there, and you got to be able to kind of brush it off your shoulder and move on and prepare for the next game. And not that you want to give any away. I thought, you know, we're moving in the right direction, and that's where we want to go. And we're definitely putting ourselves in a great spot right now, back in a playoff picture, which is, you know, our ultimate goal is to be in the postseason.
Predators defenseman Dante Fabbro and center Michael McCarron are our guests here on Smashville Live. One thing I noticed that changed last night, new warm-up music.
Yep.
Who's behind that? I mean, that's a vibe change, right, Mike?
Yeah, that's a big vibe change. It was really good last night. I really enjoyed it, but you're looking at one of the front runners right here. Dante had a big hand in it. I'm getting older now. I don't know all the new songs anymore, so I let the younger guys handle that. So yeah, we had 4 or 5 guys were picking songs. I think Dante Schenner.
Schenner was a big spearhead of it.
Yeah, I think Schenner was the one to say, like, all right, we need to change something up at home. Let's get some new warm up tunes.
That does come from you guys right there. That you pick everything that you want to hear out there.
Yeah, well, we had picked 5 songs, but I think we need to do a couple more just to. Obviously, it's a little longer, and I think some of the songs.
Oh, we're not going to change it quite yet, though.
No, we can't. Yeah, we can't yet. But it was. Just thought we needed a change, and there was a small change, but I think the guys felt good out there and, you know, listened to different tunes, and you could tell the crowd was getting into it a little bit, too, so it was good.
It was good. I mean, my ears perked up. We got some Chris Stapleton with a beat behind it in there.
Well, told them to turn it up just a little bit, too.
Yeah, like 5 notches, maybe. Yeah. 6 notches after last night. Preds have won 6 in a row. Our guests here on Smashville Live are Dante Fabro and Mike McCarron. We're going to take a break. They're going to sign some autographs and take some pictures. We'll come back with more with our player guests, Jay Moore, Max Herz, Dante Fabro, and Michael McCarron with us here on Smashville Live, presented by Black Abbey Brewing and ESPN Bet, here on your radio home for Preds hockey, 102.5 The Game.
And now down the middle with it, going down to the left wing corner, is Roman Josi. Josi comes up by the half wall. And the puck deflects into the net for a goal! And the Predators take a 1-0 lead! A pinball play makes it 1-0!
Well, it's not a surprise. It's 4-5. Michael McCarron.
Big goal for Big Sexy last night. You just heard P. Weber on the call. Welcome back to Smashville Live. Michael McCarron and Dante Fabro in the building here at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria. Great crowd here. Can we hear it for our crowd real quick? This is our biggest crowd of the season so far. My name is Max Herz, along with former Preds defenseman Jay Moore. Michael McCarron, you just heard his goal last night. Dante Fabro up here. I got to give it up for the guys. We got 3 first-round picks up here. I'm not one of them. I was undrafted, still available to be signed. But we'll go reverse chronological. The 17th overall pick of the Nashville Predators in 2016 from Coquitlam, British Columbia, Canada, and Boston University, Dante Fabro.
Hello.
Hello, indeed. I thought everyone was going to clap. We just drafted you. It's a big moment in your life. But now all the way down on our right, the 25th overall pick in the 2013 draft of the Montreal Canadiens from the U.S. National Team Development Program at the time, America, for Mike McCarron.
Yeah.
And now right here, the 10th overall pick in the 1987 draft of the New York Rangers from the New Westminster Bruins in Deloraine, Manitoba, Canada, Jay Moore, everybody.
You know, when you say 1987, these guys weren't even around.
I wasn't either. So,
no. So
it was a great day for all of us. But do you want to feel even older?
Please, what do you got coming? I'm looking at your notes, trying to rubberneck here, but what do you got?
Back when Jay was picked, he was picked at the Joe in Detroit, so Mike's home area.
Oh, yeah.
The first NHL draft held in the U.S., but every single pick of the first round was still Canadian. That was before the Americans had figured out this hockey thing.
Yeah.
But there were some good Americans in there, and they all got passed over. Matthew Schneider, John LeClaire were your year?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wasn't aware of that, but we didn't know they even played hockey in America at that time.
All right. Well, we got one Canadian, one American hosting, one Canadian, one American guesting tonight. And, Jay, I know you wanted to ask Dante about your old stomping grounds out in B.C. where you played junior.
Yeah, I was traded to the New Westminster Bruins my draft year, and it was a last-place team. I really think they were trying to bury me. And I got there, and we were they had lost 22 out of the last 23 games. So that was my welcome to New Westminster. Yeah. Dante, now that is where you were born, is that correct?
Yep, that is correct. I was born at the hospital there. It's still there. My sister's actually now working at the hospital. She's she's an emerge nurse there. And we were all three of me and my two sisters were both born there.
So Queen's Park Arena.
Queen's Park, yep.
I mean, that was a small arena, and for if you can just visualize, it's actually a lot like this restaurant we're sitting in. The roof is about as high, and it was dark, and when teams come in there, they got the tar beat out of them.
Yeah.
We always had tough teams in New West, right from Ernie Punch McLean was our coach.
What's his name?
Punch McLean.
Of course.
He was a coach, the bus driver, and he would do whatever else was needed, drive the Zamboni. But those were back in the day when there wasn't much of a budget for junior hockey. But, I have fond memories of New Westminster, a great area just outside of Vancouver.
Yep. It's it's just right beside Coquitlam, right where I grew up. So, we don't spend too much time in New Westminster. Obviously, I'm not back too much anymore, but I do try to drive through there once in a while. Obviously, you know, when I'm home, you know, go see my sister at the hospital and whatnot. But yeah, I remember even playing minor hockey, going and playing at that the Queens rink there. So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Well, we got Dante Fabro and Mike McCarron here and talking about Canada and playing the U.S. We've got a Western Canadian guy, Dante Fabro, who played American college hockey, and an American, Michael McCarron from Grosse Pointe, Michigan, who won the Memorial Cup in Canada. So everybody's crossing paths here. Mike, we'll start with you just because Jay talked about being traded in juniors. You were traded in juniors from the London Knights to the Oshawa Generals. You guys won the Memorial Cup in 2015. Seems like an incredible run, first to the OHL title and then to the Mem Cup. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, going back to the playing in London, it's I'm watching the London Knights on TV right now on NHL Network. But yeah, no, they're a big time junior team, junior city. That's really why I went there, for the Hunter brothers, both longtime NHLers, know how to make junior players turn pro. And at the time, I was drafted by the Canadians coming out of the National Development Program, and I wanted to go there and learn how to be a pro. Instead of go to college, so went there. Going to the trade deadline the following year, it was I had no idea that I was even going to maybe get traded. Came up probably sometime in November, December, and I didn't really want to get traded. I didn't know anything about Canada. Going to a small town in Oshawa, hardworking town, like blue collar. It's kind of like Detroit in a way. They're a big time car manufacturer, big Chrysler facility there. So going from a big city, London, Ontario, to Oshawa is pretty scary, but we had a really good team that year. We had some really good players on our team. Obviously, you guys all know Anthony Cirelli, won a couple cups with Tampa Bay. He was on our team, and we were able to make a big run. DJ Smith was our coach, who was a head coach for Ottawa for a long time, and he taught me really the defensive side of the game, whereas the Hunter brothers maybe taught me the offensive side. So I got the best of both worlds in junior hockey, and you know, we had to get through some really good teams in the OHL to win it. In the finals, we played the Erie Otters with Connor McDavid, who was putting up 150 points. We had to go through him to win the championship, and we were able to do that. That was pretty special. And then obviously going on to the Memorial Cup in Quebec City, it was pretty cool. We played the Kelowna Rockets in the finals. They had, you know, Draisaitl, Josh Morrissey. They had some really good players on that team too. So it was a really special run. I don't know how we did it, even to this day. I mean,
you got McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're looking back. I mean, I'm sure guys who won the Stanley Cup too say the same thing. You need so many things to go right, and every piece to fall perfectly. So that was a pretty special run, and I'll always cherish those times.
And you guys won that Mem Cup game in overtime too.
Yeah, Anthony Cirelli is overtime hero.
When you guys get on that run, like you get traded, and It's a little bit like what you guys are experiencing right now on a bigger scale, obviously. But when that team comes together, it's just an amazing feeling to bond and you know, it just,
yep,
everybody finds a role, finds that identity, which we've talked about a million, yeah, times this year too. So
no, yeah, it's quite special. Like I don't think we were top five team in the OHL that year. I know we had a big strong team and like they were playing really good, but I think, not to say we squeaked in the playoffs, but we might have had like a 2 or 3 spot in the playoffs going in, and we were, you know, like you said, we found our role at the right time. Like when I got traded over there, it took us, I don't remember winning a whole bunch right when I got traded over there. I know we were good, but it took some time to, you know, become the team that we were eventually were. It was special when it all comes together, when the guys get together and everybody's pulling on the same rope. That's one for you, Max. But
thank
no,
you.
It
thank
was good.
You.
It was like I said, I don't even know how to explain it. I don't know how we did it, but we did it. It was awesome.
You mentioned Anthony Cirelli, who scored the goals in the final. The guy who got traded with you from London to Oshawa going to be on the other side tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Dakota Mermis from the Wild?
Yeah, me and him were a package deal over to Oshawa. He was a good overage defenseman at the time. You know, he's hard to play against. He's kind of like plays a little bit of a mean game with a little bit of offense to his game, at least in junior. I haven't played against too much in pro, so looking forward to seeing him tomorrow night. We always share a special bond with players you win with, so it'll be good to see him.
It's Michael McCarron talking about his amateur hockey journey. Dante Fabro went from the Vancouver area in Canada all the way across the continent and across the border to play at Boston University. Dante, it seemed like it was pretty obvious to you. You wanted to play American college. Why was that something that was important to you as a Canadian hockey player growing up?
Honestly, it was actually it was a tough decision at the start. I mean, I was drafted pretty high to Seattle in the WHL, and so I kind of used my 16-year-old year, my rookie year and junior, to kind of feel things out. And I knew, you know, my father and a lot of people in my family wanted me to go to college, and I still kind of was undecided. And so I used my 16-year-old year to go play in Penticton in the BCHL, which would be a kind of tier two to, you know, obviously Seattle in the Western League. And ended up playing there for the year. And kind of after, I had actually, you know, reached out to, you know, the GM of Seattle and kind of texted him. I'm nervous, 16-year-old me, reaching out to this thing, trying to make a decision on, you know, where I'm going to be playing the next, you know, few years. And so I texted him and get a response. And I was like, hey, do you have time for a phone call? He's like, is it good or bad? I was like, I just would like to talk to you over the phone, trying to be mature about it. And he says, don't bother. So I made my decision pretty easy. And,
wow.
It was pretty crazy. 16, I was shocked, honestly, when I was 16 and I saw that. So,
but you had you fully decided at that point or no?
Yeah, I had decided on I was going to go to college, but, you know, I out of respect to him, I wanted to talk to him over the phone. And, you know, after that response, I just buried it. And
so the 16-year-old turned out to be the adult in the room.
Yeah, I moved on from it. And, you know, there's no change in my mind kind of after that. And so, again, went to Penticton for my second year. Had really good teams there. My first year almost won the whole thing. And second year ran into kind of injury problems in the playoffs. And, you know, from there, took my school visits and looked at a few options and decided to go with Boston University. It just felt like it was the best fit. Had a lot of really young, good players coming in. You know, you had Charlie McAvoy, Clayton Keller, Jake Ottinger, a bunch of those guys, Jordan Greenway. So, I think that's kind of one of the big reasons why I wanted to go there, for those guys to kind of push me and help me be better. And, you know, I thought it was just the best fit. Obviously, my dad would have wished for myself to be a little bit closer to the West Coast, but, you know, he was happy for me. He kind of let me make my own decisions, and, you know, it's kind of how the decision process went.
What other colleges did you visit?
I ended up going to I looked at Boston College, BU, Minnesota, and Denver. I was gonna go see North Dakota, but I had seen it. We played at the U18s there, and I just didn't know if I wanted to live in the cold. So, I mean, Boston's cold, but at least I got a city around me.
Yeah, that's also cold. But like Mike, you had a future NHL coach coaching you, David Quinn. So you guys really did have a lot in common, and it's just always fun to talk to our players about these absolutely stacked amateur teams and leagues, college, juniors, everywhere else. So thank you guys for going deep into that. We'll take another break for you to sign some autographs here at Brew House South, here in the Cool Springs Galleria with some great Preds fans in the building. Max Herz, Jay Moore with Preds defenseman Dante Fabro and center Michael McCarron. Your sponsors for Smashville Live are ESPN Bet and Black Abbey Brewing Company, here on your radio home for Preds hockey, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, your radio home for Preds hockey. Preds are hot, everybody. Six straight wins, four more games coming up in this five-game homestand. Tomorrow night against the Wild, Saturday at 5 against the Avs, then next week against the Canadiens and the Sabres here at Bridgestone Arena. My name is Max Herz, along with former Preds defenseman Jay Moore. Can we give it up for the Moore family in attendance here tonight? Jay's lovely wife, Jody. All 30 of your granddaughters are here?
They're all here.
How many are there? Four?
Only four. Yeah, don't
only
exaggerate.
Four.
Come on.
I just like to give everyone the picture that Jay has this massive Manitoban family that just takes over here in Williamson County now.
Yep. Born and raised. They're all here.
One thing we didn't talk about with our guests, Dante Fabro and Mike McCarron are here. Let's clap it up again for the guys. Some autographs, some pictures. Dante, I think maybe my favorite thing about how your family intertwines with your hockey journey. Your older sisters both played college soccer at Austin Peay before you were part of the Preds organization, which is, I mean, I don't even want to call it random, but it's an incredible connection from way far away.
Yeah, I mean, my oldest sister back in Vancouver, well, I guess they're both playing soccer together, but she had gotten hurt in her senior year of high school and tore her knee up pretty bad and was out, so she missed a lot of opportunity with recruiting and whatnot. And so I think Austin Peay kind of took a chance on her, gave her a scholarship, and went down there and was doing really well. And then my other sister kind of just followed in her footsteps and went down there as well. And then, you know, the one graduates, and that same year I ended up getting drafted to Nashville, which is pretty cool. And yeah, so it's kind of cool to have a little bit of roots here with my sisters being here and whatnot. And yeah, they knew the city a lot better than I did. My oldest lived down here for a little bit before I did, and she loved it. I mean, we're a big country music family, love live music, and just going out to listen to, you know, different people play and kind of see the talent around town. It's pretty surreal. I think, you know, you get to, and any given night, it could be, you know, anybody famous or somebody you don't know, and they're just incredible. So I think that's, you know, a big highlight of obviously being in Nashville.
Do either of them still live here?
Yeah, I got one that's living with me. She's working right now. She's working on getting a visa. Obviously, it's being a Canadian, it's a little tougher getting jobs in the States, but she's working on that. And, yeah, she loves it too, I think. She's starting to do her own thing, and yeah, she's doing Digital Golf Collective. It's she's working with golfers and you know, kind of influencers with marketing and whatnot. So yeah, she loves her job and she enjoys it.
How cool is that for your family? You're a professional athlete, and she's living with you.
Yeah, it's honestly it's been great. I mean, I was alone for probably the first half of my for the first full year, and then she came down halfway through my second year. I ended up getting a dog, and so I have my own personal caretaker for my dog and professional dog walker, and yeah, she's amazing. It's just nice to have a little bit of family kind of away from home, and just nice kind of going back home and, you know, kind of having her to bounce ideas off of and just kind of hang out and, you know, just chill.
We got to ask about the dog, right, Jay?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cash Fabro?
Cash.
Is that right?
That's right. That is
Johnny
correct.
Cash?
Johnny Cash, yeah. Yeah, got him through a breeder in Missouri. Didn't think he was going to be 120 pounds, but looking at him 2.5 years later, he's 120 pounds. And, yeah, he's just the best. Great personality, and just wants to be lazy and cuddle on the couch all day, which is I'm completely fine with.
That's not a bad thing. I feel the same way all lot of days. Huh?
Oh, yeah. So, Mac's got a pretty simple. He's got a lab too, and
golden retriever.
What is Cash?
He's a chocolate lab.
Okay, so a chocolate lab and a golden, Mike.
Yeah.
Tell us about Pup McCarron.
Yeah, I got a dog, Scooby. he's about a 65-pound English cream golden retriever, so he's like white golden retriever. He's 2 years old, but we got him about the same time, actually, right? Yeah, mine's maybe a little bit younger, but. Yeah, still got that puppy energy, 2 years old, like, just buzzes around. Oh, yeah. Super excited every time you come home. Great to have a dog in the house, I'll tell you that.
Scooby. That's a great name.
Yeah. I love it.
Jay and I were talking about Scooby-Doo on the postgame show last night.
That was my favorite.
I'm surprised you never heard of somebody.
That was my favorite cartoon growing up. Yeah. I had, like, a life-size Scooby-Doo doll that my parents got me in, like, Disney World or something that I slept with for years. So I always said my first dog would be Scooby.
That's awesome. Do you want to tell them Scooby-Doo last night? Well, see if it's in their lingo?
On the third goal, on Roman's goal, that I don't know who, what defenseman was it from Ottawa that fell down? And I the post-game show, he looked like he Scooby-Dooed. Like, you know, Mike, you remember Scooby-Doo, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah.
And when he takes off running, it's like.
Does it move?
That's what he looked like. And I said, well, he's kind of Scooby-Dooed there. And, and Max thought that was hilarious. So it's. We're going to have to live with that for the rest of the season.
That's not in either of your hockey dictionaries, though? You Scooby-Doo'd a guy?
No, I'm sure.
I might start using it.
Yeah, there's a lot of other choice words you probably can't say on air.
a lot were going through my head at the time, and I was like, oh, I can't say that.
You probably should have seen the bench after he had fell, so I think everyone was giving it to him pretty good.
Yeah, Gus showed him right to his seat there. That was awesome. It's been so fun watching you guys this last week and a half. One of my favorite moments, and I know the team loved it too, Colton Sisson's bar down empty netter from 130 feet away in L.A. Yeah. One of a kind goal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's going into the goalie's in net.
Yeah. His reaction was priceless. Just turn around and just like.
He's like, I meant to do that.
Yeah. So it was almost like I'm the man look. But he was joking. It was we were having a good time with that. And I don't think he meant for that to go bar down. But the fact that it did and his reaction, it was just priceless.
There were a lot of fun goals over this last couple week streak, and Mike, your line's been putting them in. Kiefer Sherwood had two really pretty ones on Saturday in San Jose. You set one up, he went back bar, and then he chipped around the D-man and went far blocker.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, he can rip the puck, man. He's when he's going, man, he's special. He's got a heck of a shot. He's so fast. He can run guys over. It's glad to see that he found his game again. He went through a little bit of a tough spell there that everybody goes through during the season. And I think, you know, he was scratched for a few games, and ever since he's come back, he's been amazing. So it's great to see him playing well. Obviously, our line's contributing, helping the team win, which is awesome. We're playing the right way. We're playing hard. But, you know, I think our whole team's doing that. So when your team's playing good, everybody on your team has success. So keep that going.
And, Dante, I feel like you get asked this constantly about what it's like playing with Roman Josi on a D pair.
Yep.
But we got all the time in the world right now, so take as much time as you need. Talk about Roman for a little bit.
Just give him the puck and watch. Just give him the puck and watch. Josi is obviously easily one of the best defensemen in the entire league. And you know, I think when you got a guy like that, anytime you can get the puck in his hands is, you know, he's going to do something special out there. And so I think kind of what I'd focus on is, you know, my whole game is essentially my passing and breaking pucks out. And so if I can do that efficiently, it's going to allow him to get up the ice and create offensively. So, I try to focus on that and making crisp passes and whatnot and trying to hit our forwards or him in stride and put him in good areas to, you know, obviously join the rush. And, you know, it's not hard to do just because he's always in the right spots and always seems to, you know, have a jump to get up ice, and which is great to play with. I think, you know, you can kind of get carried away maybe passing it to him too much. So, but, you know, I think there's a good balance with us and how we want to play with each other. And, it's fun to see him kind of operate out there and you know, being the leader he is on our team is he's just obviously a special human.
Let's talk about what you guys do for the summer.
Yeah.
Your whether it's summer preparation. At the end of the season, obviously it's just a take some time off, recoup a little bit. But where do you guys spend your summers? What do you do for you know, when you're done, and then when do you kind of start that training again to get back into?
Yeah, so under the end of the year, obviously your body's beat up a little bit. You go home, or at least that's what I do. I spend about a week here, and then I'll head home and get some rest at home, be around family. You know, we own a house. My wife and I own a house in the Detroit area. So we like to get home, be around a lot of family, and hang out. Sometimes we'll go. Every summer I got a golf trip that I go on with my brother and a couple of our best buddies. So that's more midsummer, but I'd say I take 3 weeks off from the end of the year till I start getting back into the gym. And usually the first couple of weeks are all activation and stretching and kind of like rehab, getting your body back ready to, you know, do some heavy lifting, and then kind of go from there. But the end of beginning of July, I start skating again about once a week, and then ramps up 2, 3, 4 times a week heading into August. So summer's not a time off really anymore, like maybe when you guys played. But, yeah, we got to take it pretty serious now. Like, training camp isn't as long or as hard as it used to be because, I mean, a coach can watch you first day of camp, see if you're ready to go. And he doesn't need to bag skate you to get you ready. You got to show up to camp ready. So summer's pretty hard, man. It's a good time, obviously, to be around family and get some sun and all that. But if you're not putting in the work, you're coming to camp SOL, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Things have changed a lot over the years. So you guys, like, you don't carb load, like, for games. Like, you know, we were told you had to eat, like, a 3 pounds of spaghetti before the game.
And Alfredo sauce.
Yeah. And at, like, 4 o'clock, you were just ready for that huge nap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sure things have changed. But I'm glad to hear that you take time to spend, like, some family time, you know, right after the season, because you guys don't get any breaks. Like, there's, you know, we all have holiday, you know, but you got Thanksgiving and Christmas break. You guys pretty much, you acknowledge it, but it's not the same. Like, you work right through.
It's pretty quick. Like, Christmas break, I mean, like, for him, BC, he can't really go home for 2 days and come home. Like, you'll be home for 24 hours. For me this year, I was able to actually head home for Christmas. I'm Detroit. It was, you know, an hour flight, so it was pretty quick for me to get home. I was able to spend like 48 hours at home, which is awesome. But a lot of guys live too far away, they can't get home. So yeah, you're right, like, you really don't get any off time. And then even like bye week, like a lot of guys don't go home, it's still cold, so you go south and you get some sun. So yeah, you need to have some family time, especially if you're family oriented. I mean, I miss my family all the time. It's a big part of my life, so I love to see them in the summer.
Was your wedding last summer, Mike?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
was Scooby in the wedding?
No. We didn't leave. We didn't let him come. He was too young. He's one. So, I mean, he's pretty well trained, but someone's got to watch him at the wedding. So, no. We actually got married at Belle Meade right down the street. It was awesome.
Wow.
Really good time.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Where is your wife from originally?
She's from Ann Arbor, Michigan. So,
okay.
I met her when I was at the USA program. And yeah, the rest is history.
So pretty special for you guys to have it here for us here in Smashville. We'll take it.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of family in Florida. Figured I'm playing here, might as well just do it here. You know, obviously, if you have it in Michigan, I have a huge Irish Catholic family, man. Like, you could have 400 or 500 people at our wedding, but you know, you have a destination. It cuts out some of the people that might come, might not come, and it was just good. It was nice to have a smaller wedding. It was, you know, a day I'll remember forever. It was an awesome time.
That's awesome. Great stuff with Michael McCarron and Dante Fabro, our guests here on Smashville Live. We'll let him go to sign some more autographs and take some pictures with our great Preds fans here at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria. Want to make sure you guys know we have another show next week at Brewhouse 100 on Highway 100 in Bellevue. Subject to change, but our expected guests are the Quebecois, Jeremy Lauzon and Alex Carrier, next Wednesday night. Getting it back with Smashville Live here on Back-to-Back Weeks. The show is presented by Black Abbey Brewing and ESPN Bet. Michael McCarron and Dante Fabro are guests this week. We'll take some fan questions next here on your radio home for Preds Hockey, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. My name is Max Herz with former Preds defenseman Jay Moore, current Preds defenseman Dante Fabro, and center Michael McCarron, signing some autographs here at Brewhouse South in the Cool Springs Galleria. Tonight's show presented by Black Abbey Brewing and ESPN Bet. Max Herz, Jay Moore, a great crowd here. Gina is walking around getting ready for some fan questions. We had one submitted in person by Brandy, who is Mike McCarron's number one fan. She wants to know, both of you guys, coming from cities with NHL teams, assuming that, Dante, you grew up a Canucks fan, and Mike, you grew up a Red Wing fan, what is it like playing against those teams and beating them now for a different team?
I'll start. I mean, I was a Canuck fan at the start, and then actually my favorite player growing up was Shea Weber.
Wow.
So I was a Nashville fan too, and again, funny enough, we get drafted here, but yeah, going back to the city, like the city where, you know, I'm from, it was pretty cool. I think my first time I was back in Van, I I had to have had maybe 250 people there. It was like it was an entire section, and it was pretty special. I mean, get back there and seeing my grandparents and all my cousins. We're a big Italian family, so you know you have the
that's a lot of tickets to buy.
Trust me, I wasn't buying 250. I'll tell you that.
That's more than 1% of the arena, right? That's a lot of seats.
There was a lot of people there, and but it was pretty cool. I mean, it was a lot of my dad's friends, my buddies, and whatnot, and just being there and getting to see them and seeing my grandpa after the game. He played at Michigan Tech for 4 years, and you know, back then there wasn't a draft, but he was protected by Chicago and decided not to do that and pursue his life in business, and so. He's done well for himself, but I think it was a pretty proud moment for him to see, you know, a grandson playing in the NHL.
That's awesome. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, obviously, they don't play at the Joe anymore. I was lucky enough to be able to play at the Joe a couple times. And like Dante said, like having your grandparents there, your parents. I mean, I remember we were able to go to, like, one or two maybe games a year to go see the Wings play. Like, you know, expensive sport to go to watch, and we were always super lucky that, you know, our parents were able to take us to a game once a year. So looking back, it's pretty special. I was able to do that, I think 2016, in the last year that the Joe was open, the Habs, when I was playing for the Habs, we played there the second to last game, and it was like kind of like the farewell to Joe, and it was sold out, and that's back when the Wings maybe won like 15 games that year, and it was sold out, playoff atmosphere, throwing octopus on the ice, and I'm on the bench sitting there like, wow, like I remember going to a playoff game like this before, and it was really cool to be able to be a part of that and play at the Joe. But now I think, kind of like Dante said, like you, when you get in the league, you're still a fan of your home team, and now it's kind of just like, well, I'm a Pred now,
yeah.
So you know, you go in there, you know you have family in the stands, and you really want to beat them to put on a good show for your family. So,
great stuff. Mike McCarron and Dante Fabra are our guests. Time for some fan questions, Gina. Do we have Gina? Uh-oh. Did I press the wrong button? Try again. Oh, the mic died. No. Sorry, guys. But can we give a shout-out to our man Lincoln?
Yes.
Who handed you guys a
Lincoln
hand-drawn Preds logo with 47 and 57 on it.
Pretty cool.
Your guys'
pretty
numbers.
Cool.
Thank you, Lincoln.
Thanks, Lincoln.
Great stuff, Lincoln. We got to get a picture with that after.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good drawing, too.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, a lot better than I do.
Do either of you guys have any hidden talents? Artistic talents?
I've taught myself guitar a bit.
Oh.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I have.
Oh,
no. You didn't.
Mike says no.
He's never heard me play. I can't sing. Just don't ask me to sing.
I'll sing for you.
Yeah, Two-man band up here?
I've heard him sing. You don't want to hear him either.
Easy now.
Wow, the spikes come out here at the final minute of the show.
No, I've tried to teach myself. I mean, YouTube and just obviously not being in Nashville, just asking different buddies and whatnot. And you can pick it up a little bit. I'm missing that other aspect of having a voice. But
well, you could be a songwriter.
No, I still can't do that.
Okay.
I'll just...
I tried.
Can't write poems.
I can do campfire stuff and whatnot, but I'd say that's somewhat of a hidden talent, I guess.
All right, Gina. Let's try again.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Yay! Okay.
Barely,
Sean,
but yes.
The battery, so we're all set. But it was, like, unplugged, so nothing happened. But this is Jaden. He's from Hendersonville.
So I have a question for the both of you guys. Which one of your guys on the team is the most fun to play soccer with before the game?
Oh, good question. Jaden asks, who's the most fun on the team to play soccer with? But I'll preface it with this. We've seen some American football being played before games too.
Yeah, that's just two guys, though. We don't worry about that too much.
Who's the best? Did he ask who the best?
Who's our favorite to play, or who's the most fun to play with?
Oh.
We can do who's the best, too. Is it you, Mike?
No. I'm top five, though. The worst.
Top five at complaining.
The worst player is Vange. Evangelista, the worst player by far. The best?
Forsberg.
Yeah, Phil Forsberg. He's probably the best. He's European, though. That doesn't count.
We have a little group that goes out before meetings, and then there's our whole team that does after. I don't partake in the after, but I like the ones before the meeting. I feel like has the quality of the play is a lot better.
Yeah, it's like me, you, Juice, Phil, Smitty,
Sis.
Yeah, it's is good. Juice good?
Yeah,
I feel like he'd have.
He doesn't have any enemies though.
No one goes after him. Yeah.
It's probably a smart move. Yeah. And the football throwers, Nyquist and Yossi.
Yeah, and Brad. So I think
who's
I
think Brad?
Brad Peterson.
Yeah.
Mike's good at this. He knows you need context on some of these things. We're in Brad Peterson's hometown, by the way, of Franklin.
Oh, shout out to Brad.
Yeah, shout out to Brad Peterson, everybody.
I think he plays defense against Phil and Gus. So I think Yos and Gus. But I think Yos and Gus put it to where they're in the advantage, and he loses every single time.
Yeah.
And they come in complaining or Brad comes in complaining about, you know, how they're make new rules on the fly and how he never wins. So, so I think they put it in their advantage.
Great stuff, guys. I think we're out of time, but thank you to everyone who was here tonight. What a great crowd. Let's clap it up for our crew here at Smashville Live. We will be back next week. Our pleasure, guys. Next week, Wednesday night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue for our next show. For Jay Moore, Mike McCarron, Dante Fabro, I'm Max Herz. Penalty Box Radio is coming up next. Preds back in action tomorrow night at home against the Wild. Smashville Live is presented by ESPN Bet and Black Abbey Brewing here on your radio home for Preds Hockey, 102.5 The Game.